All right. So we're going to hand all that out. It might take a minute or two, but that's okay. So, a question that I have, by the way, I'm Pastor David. If you have not met me personally, I think I've met everybody in here though, but a question that I have been asked several times in the last few weeks is why are we doing this anxiety class? Why are we doing it? Well, and as I showed you a few weeks ago in service, but I think it's worth doing again. If you have struggled with anxiety or know someone who has struggled with anxiety, would you raise your hand? Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's the answer, right? That's the answer. Why are we doing a class on anxiety? The answer is that we struggle with anxiety, or we know people who have struggled with this. And I gave the statistic a few weeks ago, but 42 million Americans deal with anxiety. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. As pastors, Dan and I counsel folks, whether it's in our office or just on the go, we counsel them all the time concerning anxiety, fear, and stress. And so what I want us to do with this class is I want us to focus on anxiety for several reasons. So one of the reasons why we want to do this class is because, one, to remove the taboo, so that way we can know that we're not alone and that it's not shameful to experience anxiety. We can talk about anxiety without shame. All right. The second reason is because anxiety is a part of life. Anxiety is a part of life. How do we understand what God says about anxiety? And then the last reason why we want to do this is because we want to give some helpful tools for dealing with anxiety from a big picture perspective, but then also from a very personal, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual perspective. And so we want to have tools that will help us from day to day. Okay? So we want to do all of those things, but there's a little disclaimer. I'll give a little disclaimer on the front end here. First off, there are several components to anxiety. There is the chemical, physical component in your brain. And that is a very real aspect of anxiety, where there has to be a balance in your brain of certain chemicals. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to go into that. So there is, sometimes that can only be brought into balance through the help of some prescribed medication. And so sometimes that is a necessity. So we're not going to be because we're Christians, we're not anti-medicine when it comes to anxiety. And it's not a bad thing if somebody is on anti-anxiety medication as long as it's prescribed by a doctor, right? We're not against that. Sometimes that is very helpful. But we're not going to be talking about that during this class. We're going to be talking about the other component, which is the component of the spiritual, mental, even some physical components of our response to our be able to take action, the things that we think about, the way that we live our lives, the practices that we are able to incorporate into our lives. And so we're going to be focusing on those kind of things, like getting enough rest, taking every thought captive, going to the Lord in prayer. We're going to be discussing those kind of things. So there's an aspect that medical doctors need to be able to treat, And then there's the rest of it, which is, what are you choosing to think about? What are you choosing to run to? Are you treating yourself in the right way that will cultivate a life that does not run to anxiety? All right. Well, the sign-up sheet or the sign-in sheet's over there. It's going to keep going around. But before we start, I want to read us some scripture, and then we're going to pray. All right? John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just we pause now. We give you praise and glory because you are our good Father. You have created us and you have blessed us. You have poured out blessings first and foremost through your Son Jesus, who died and rose again so that we may have new life as we believe in him. We thank you for that blessing. We thank you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, who indwells inside of every believer as a seal of the promise of our salvation, who produces good fruit and good works in us, who prays on our behalf when we do not have the words. We thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your church, who is here to encourage and build one another up so that we may live out this Christian life well. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that tells us how to come to you, tells us what you are like, that tells us all of your promises, and that we can trust and rest in them. And so, Lord, we thank you. We ask that you would move among us tonight, make things clear that were not clear before, impress on our hearts things that we need to take away. And Lord, we just ask that you would speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I think it's good for us to start with some definitions. If we're going to have a class on anxiety, I think it's important to be able to have the right definitions and to put things into the right boxes. I'm one of those types of people that if I don't have a clear definition or a clear box to put a thought into, then I am going to take that thought and I'm going to just spread it out across everything. And I think that we do that. I think we do that with some of these ideas about anxiety and fear. And I think that what happens is we start interchanging these words, though they don't mean the same thing. And we start condemning things that don't need to be condemned, and approving things that don't need to be approved. And so let's look at some definitions. And we're going to take just a few minutes to kind of do this. It might be a little bit longer, but I want us to kind of have that foundation, okay? So let's start with fear. Fear. All right? Fear is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, whether the threat is real or imagined. Just ignore the screaming children outside. They're teenagers. They scream about everything. They are not in actual danger. They're fine. So fear is an emotion that is aroused by impending danger or a threat, whether it is a real threat or an imagined threat. Let me give you two examples. Okay? So fear of a real threat. When I was 5 years old, my family lived in Fort Hood, Texas. My dad was stationed there. We were in the Army. We went one day, the three of us, my mom, my dad, and myself, to a rental storage facility. And we were walking through. I think they were looking to store something, I'm imagining. no other reason to be there. But my dad went to talk to the owner while my mom and I were just kind of walking around. We're just kind of walking around waiting for them to finish talking about that. Well, we start walking down this row.
George.
And it's his phone. He's getting his phone. That's all right. We start walking down this row of storage units, and all of a sudden, we hear dogs barking. And we look up, and three Doberman Pinschers are chasing us, are running towards us down the row, very viciously, like they're attacking. My mom picks me up. There was a dumpster right there, right off of it. She picks me up, throws me in the dumpster, and then jumps in on top of me. But she did not escape the Doberman's pinchers. She was bit on the leg by a Doberman. She was okay. We went to the hospital. She had stitches. It was fine. She still has her legs. She still walks around. She's great. That was like 40 years ago. All right. But there was a fear. It was a very real fear. Those Dobermans were coming after us. Now, the extended story was that one of the other workers was trying to transfer the Dobermans from one pen to another. They got loose. They attacked us. Okay. Real fear. Something is coming at me to harm me. Now let's talk about imagined fear. Imagined fear. Now, this isn't hard to figure out, but imagined fear. Fear of the monster under your bed. I can remember, same age, 5 years old, I had a real fear that there was something living under my bed, and that if I got up in the middle of the night and put my feet down on the floor, it would grab me from under the bed. Now, had I ever seen anything under the bed in daylight? No. Had anything ever attacked me before? No. Had I ever, were there anything like the monsters that I imagined? No. They were all imagined. It was an imagined fear. But it was fear, right? So fear is a distressing emotion about impending danger, okay? So next, let's talk about anxiety. Anxiety is a state of unease, of worry or fear that is often about something that might happen in the future. Now, it is a normal response to stress and perceived danger. It's a normal response. It's a human reaction to life's unpredictability. It is proportional to the situation, and it is situational. All right? This is a God-designed function in the human body designed to guard you from danger. You begin to feel unease and worry when something dangerous is approaching. Okay? It is like the warning sign. Alright? Let's keep going. These are so good, right? Anxiety disorder. Okay, so what is that? What's the difference between anxiety and an anxiety disorder? An anxiety disorder is a condition characterized by excessive fear, excessive worry and anxiety that significantly interferes with daily life. These conditions differ from normal feelings of anxiety and nervousness because they're oftentimes irrational, they persist, they're so intense. These are usually unmanageable and overwhelming, and they go beyond specific situations, okay? So this is this is a condition that affects you beyond a dangerous situation that you carry with you, that it overwhelms you, it affects your daily life, it hinders you from being able to do normal functions. Okay? So I just wanted to, before we go on, I have a list there for you of some different anxiety disorders, and I thought it would be fun to just read them together. Okay? So, to just read them together. Hey, Sean, would you read the first one? Generalized anxiety disorder.
Generalized anxiety disorder. Persistent, excessive worry about various aspects of life, leading to difficulty concentrating, sleep problems, and muscle tension.
All right. This is probably the most common of anxiety disorders. It's kind of just generalized. It's just a general state of overwhelming anxiety. All right? All right. Who else would like to read? All right. Go ahead. Phobias.
Intense and irrational fears of specific objects or situations, such as heights, spiders, or climbing.
Yeah. We all understand phobias. Fear of heights. That's me. Fear of spiders. Not me, but that is the rest of my family. I know this because middle of the night, Dad, come kill the spider! Right? Or fear of flying, also me. And that was not something that I had when I was younger. That developed really in the last like 8 years. Whew. Anyway. All right. Let's see. Who else? Aaron, would you read panic disorder?
Sudden and unexpected episodes of intense fear accompanied by physical symptoms like a racing heart, shortness of breath, and sweat.
Yeah. This is where panic attacks come from. Now, a panic attack is not necessarily a disorder, but if they persist, then it becomes a disorder. All right, Noah, would you read social anxiety disorder?
An intense fear or anxiety in social situations, often stemming from a fear of being judged or embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Who else? Deborah, would you read separation anxiety disorder for me?
Excessive worry or fear about being separated from a primary caregiver, especially in children.
Yeah, so this is one that we see a lot in kids, and this is one that we saw amp up after COVID, right? Kids who had been home with mom and dad for an extended period of time when they had to go back to school, a lot of them just, they developed this anxiety disorder because it was hard to leave mom and dad, leave the comforts of home, because home was where they were safe, and now they're stepping back out. All right, Angela, would you read obsessive compulsive disorder?
Obsessive compulsive disorder, characterized by obsessions, recurrent unwanted thoughts, and compulsions, repetitive behaviors aimed at reducing anxiety.
All right, this is where you have to lock the door like 3 times to make sure that it's locked, or count it a certain amount of times, or wash your hands a certain way for a certain amount of seconds. You know, obsessive compulsive. Now, washing your hands for a certain amount of seconds, that's just healthy. We know that. But they can become an anxiety disorder. All right. Let's see. Who else do I want to pick on? Would anyone like to read the last one? I don't want to pick on anyone.
Post-traumatic stress disorder. A disorder that can develop after experiencing or witnessing a traumatic event. Characterized by intrusive memories, nightmares, and avoidance behaviors.
Yeah, so we understand this one. We've recognized this one with our active service members who have come back from war, or someone who's been in an accident. They've experienced something very traumatic that was harmful, and so they're just carrying that with them and coming back up in different times and triggered in different ways. So as we think about these disorders, we have fear, we have anxiety, we have anxiety disorders, which is anxiety that persists and hinders daily life. So let's look at these last ones, stress. Stress is a physical and mental response.
Danger.
Is a physical and mental response to perceived or real demands, threats, or challenges. It is a natural and adaptive reaction that helps individuals cope with difficult situations. So, with this, God created us to experience stress in a good way. He created us to experience it. So, stress on your muscles builds strength and stamina. Stress on your minds helps you to focus and accomplish tasks. Stress can be very good. We are designed for stress. Stress is a natural state. However, prolonged stress is not good. Stress without rest is an unhealthy balance. And oftentimes, we use this word stress, or I'm stressed. You know, I'm just so stressed out right now. When we're actually, what we mean is we're anxious. Because the state that I'm in is not necessarily stress. Maybe it's prolonged stress that has produced anxiety. But stress is not necessarily a bad thing in and of itself. And a lot of times we just use that because we don't want to say, well, I'm anxious. Because we're afraid to say that, or we feel ashamed to say it. And that's typically a term that is used by men who don't want to be vulnerable. No, I'm just stressed. Stressed at work. No, you're anxious about your job. or by type A, go-getter, like, kind of people. And so we want to make sure we have the right definitions here. And lastly, worry. Worry means to give way to anxiety and unease, allowing one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. Worry is when you say, I'm going to just sit here and stew on something terrible. I'm going to think on it all the time. I'm going to let my thoughts continually be on this difficult, troubling thing. So, looking at these, can you see how it is important to put them in the right boxes? It's important to understand the difference. Too often we communicate to ourselves and often to others, and as we do so, we interchange these definitions. And if we're going to understand what God says about anxiety and worry and fear, then we need to have the proper definitions of each of those things. Okay? Think about it like this. Concerning anxiety, all right? Imagine that you're driving down the road in your car and the warning light comes on your dashboard, indicating that something is wrong. Now, is that light bad? No, the light itself is not bad. It's actually good, but it is indicating and warning of something bad, right? But what if you completely ignore that light and don't do anything about it? It might go off by itself. True. It's a low probability. Could. But more often than not, it leads to bigger problems later on. You could ignore the light. You could even take some duct tape and cover up the light, right? So that you can't see it. You could try to avoid it, but ignoring the light could lead to bigger problems and even more severe damage later. And this is how we should view anxiety. Anxiety is the warning light on our dashboard, telling us of fear and danger, that something is wrong. Maybe it's a real danger. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's imagined. But the purpose is so that we would pop the hood and take a deeper look at the reasons for the light, to diagnose the problem and to find a solution. Okay? So when we think about anxiety, nobody likes anxiety. I also don't like working out. Well, so I don't. But we don't like anxiety, and anxiety is not necessarily a pleasant thing, but it is a God-designed thing to point us to deeper problems. Not so that we can hang out in anxiety and live in anxiety, but so that we could take our anxiety to the Lord, find those problems, and let Him figure those out. Okay? I want us to talk in our groups for a second. Take some time at your tables. And I want you to answer these questions, kind of about what we've been talking about. These three questions. Do any of these definitions help you put things into the right boxes? Two, how have you seen these different terms mixed up or interchanged in your own life? And three, as you consider the light on the dashboard analogy, how does this help you to understand anxiety? And also in that question, how do we often try to tape over the light? Okay? So you don't have to get real, real personal. These are not super in-depth personal questions, but they are analytical questions, and we're going to figure these out. So take some time at your tables, discuss, be kind to the people on your table, patient, and we'll come back together in a second. All right, let's come back together. Hopefully that conversation was helpful for you. Real quick, just let's have one or two share briefly. Did any of these definitions help you? And if so, share why or how.
I've been put in the first part. A distressing emotion aroused by impending doom, whether the threat is real or not.
Mm. So you found that helpful, that definition helpful? Yeah. Anybody else?
What about how to identify the different things and then how to
It's so important, I think, to see the difference in that. There are the things that, the way that God made us. And so if we're anxious, okay, God made us this way. But then there is the way that we take the way God made us and we make it sinful. And understanding that I'm not necessarily sinful every time I'm anxious or stressed or have a fear. But it is simple if I decide to live in it.
For years, I played the victim. My dad, my grandfather, my daughter, all of us suffer from anxiety and depression. I'm glad to share that in case I can help someone else. And my dad and my grandfather and I have all been hospitalized with it. So for years, I thought I was the victim. This is just part of the generational thing, and I can't do a thing about it. Then I learned that a lot of it I was doing to myself because I would just tell myself, oh, you know, this is just you. And so I had to learn ways to cope, and part of it, you know, was through scripture, and it's an ongoing battle.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not the victim anymore. I have some control over it. And a lot of the stuff I do to myself, and I let myself, you know, if I don't catch it, control it. So I was telling them some of that when I get these thoughts. I made myself memorize all the books of the Bible. So when I start turning on something, then I just start going, Genesis, And I try to, you know, switch it over to something positive. Or I'll say, God, say this after me again, make me stop. Those are some of the things that I've learned.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sean.
Pastor Dave, can you made a comment? How we act and react to stress is natural, but how we further it can be simple. Would you please elaborate on that?
So we can, which we're going to focus on during the rest of our time tonight. Because we are going to go, and I'll give it just a brief. So, if God created us for things like anxiety, for anxiety to be the warning sign of our fears and those things that are a danger to us, whether it's real or perceived, if you're afraid of something that is not true, not real or true, you need to know. It's good. You need to know that that's what that is. But living in it, making it part of your identity, and what we'll see here in a second, not running to the Lord with it, can become sinful, because what ends up happening is we willingly make it our master. So let's keep going.
Sure. Pulling all through this, that's probably the finest point. You made that just a little bit ago when you said the problem is when you live it. There's probably no one in here that hasn't experienced 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of those things at one time or another in their lives.
Sure.
I mean, let's face it. Just what you said, and I wanted to comment, the problem is not experiencing it. It's not a sin to experience it. The sin comes when you live in it.
Right.
And we're going to bring that up, but I wanted to make that point. You hit the nail right on the head with that.
Yeah, and that, you know, go ahead and turn over to the back page. We'll turn back, but you guys got us there earlier than I was going to get us there. So truth number one, it's at the bottom of the second page. Truth number one, experiencing anxiety is not the problem. Experiencing anxiety is not the problem, but living in anxiety, dwelling in anxiety, is the problem. All right? And that's the big truth that I want us to walk away with tonight. Now, we got to that truth earlier, so you don't get to walk away yet. But experiencing anxiety is not a sin. It's not the problem. It's living in it, dwelling in it, saying this is going to be my identity, this is going to be my ongoing state, my home. That is the sin. All right, we'll come back to that. So I wanted to share this this quote with you, and I have it on your worksheet, your handout, but from Ed Welch. Ed Welch is a Christian psychologist, or was a Christian psychologist and author. He's written a bunch of really great books, and I encourage you to go home, Google them, buy them all. They're all fantastic. But he said, this is just a quote from one of his books. He said, "Fear is the perfect problem. No doubt it can be paralyzing and painful. When it comes, your goal is to get rid of it immediately. But by its very nature, fear tells you to run rather than to face whatever is causing it. But it is ideal in this: God reserves his most persuasive, beautiful, and comforting words for fearful people. When we face fear, when we want to run, and okay, that's fine. But God tells us to run to him. Run to him. Our fears and anxieties ultimately come down to ways in which we don't trust the Lord. Now, once again, we're not talking about a chemical imbalance that you need to take some medication for. I'm talking about, in general, when we face anxiety and fear, it's usually because of we do not believe three things about the Lord. Anxiety, it feeds on these three things that we don't believe about God. Number one, it feeds when we don't believe that God is sovereign. Meaning that we don't believe his hands are in the details of our lives. So anxiety grows, it feeds, it fattens. When we stop believing that God has his hands on our lives. Is that battery dying too? Oh, fun. When we stop believing that God has his hands on our lives. Number two, anxiety feeds on this when we don't believe that God cares for us or loves us. That he doesn't love me, that he's not for me, that he will not help me. When we believe, or when we stop believing that he loves us or cares for us, then we wouldn't run to him as a good father, a loving father. And then the third one, when we don't believe that God is wise, that he doesn't know what he's doing. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that because, and we say this in all of our Next Steps classes. If you've taken a Next Steps class that I have taught, you have heard me say this. What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes in, and that's not a quote from me, that's a quote from somebody else, but what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Meaning, if when you think about God, you think of him as a mean judge, then you're who's just sitting up in the clouds, ready to throw light bolts on you whenever you mess up, then you're not going to want to run to him. You're not going to see him as loving or kind. You're not going to believe any of the scriptures that says that he loves you and that he wants his best for you. If we believe that God is like Santa Claus or a genie who just grants wishes whenever we ask them, then what's going to happen? When he doesn't grant our wish, then we will have nothing to do with him. So when we think about this, as we think about our anxiety, it ultimately comes back to what we don't believe about God. And it's not saying that we don't fully believe these things. It's not saying that like you've become an atheist in your beliefs. What it means is that in those moments of fear and stress and anxiety, we tend to forget. We forget. We are temporarily convinced that God is not sovereign, loving, and wise. And we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. And so there are some very practical, everyday things that God has given us in his word to obey, which is some of the stuff we're going to talk about over the course of this class. And there's also some good tools that he's given us to utilize to find balance and wellness in the midst of troubling situations, like scriptures, like daily physical and mental practices, talking with trusted friends or counselors, making a change in your diet, making a change in your circumstances, or even maybe, like we said before, maybe it's after talking with a doctor, maybe it's a prescription medication. But God has given us different tools to use to combat anxiety, to help us run to him. See, here's the thing about all these things. We have a lot of different tools, but if they don't lead us back to him, then we are not going to get better, because we are looking for our hope in something else other than him. And so I want to give us, we're going to take a few more minutes in our tables. And I want us to, here's the Bible study portion. I want us to read Mark chapter 4, verses 36 through 41. And we're going to read an account of Jesus and the disciples. And I want you to read that. Just have one person in your table read it out loud for your group. And then I want you to answer these questions, and then we're going to come back together in about 10 minutes. Okie dokie. All right. All right. Let's come back together. Real quickly, you guys read about Jesus with his disciples in the boat and how he was asleep in the boat and a storm came and they frantically woke Jesus up. Jesus, don't you care that we are perishing? So as we look at this, in what ways did the disciples' fear and anxiety manifest itself? Somebody share briefly. You woke them up? What else? Don't you care about us? They doubted if he even cared about them, right? What else? Any other ways? Yeah, they thought, are you going to let us die? We're dying. You know, all right. What did the words and behavior of Jesus' disciples reveal that they did not believe about Jesus? Thinking back to those three unbeliefs that we looked at, what did it reveal that they did not believe about Jesus? Well, yeah, that he was sovereign, that he had a hand in their situation. That he cared about them, right? Don't you care? And they even say it word for word. Don't you care? Yeah. Did anybody see the last one there? It's there too. So that he isn't wise, right? Why would you be sleeping at a time like this? Why would you be sleeping? They had to wake him up. Because him sleeping in the midst of a storm was not the wise thing. Right? As we think about this, we see all three of those in this example. What did Jesus rebuke the disciples for? Their fear? Their unbelief. Their unbelief. Yeah, their lack of faith or their unbelief. Now, he did say, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? He's not rebuking them for being afraid, but he's asking why. And he's pinpointing it for them. It's because of your unbelief. It's because of your unbelief. Now, we would all look at that situation and go, well, of course they were afraid. There's a storm. They thought they were going to die. Right? But how would faith have looked in that situation in comparison to the fear and anxiety that we see? What would faith have looked like in that situation?
They'd all be asleep.
They'd all be asleep with them. Curl up next to them in the boat. Yeah. We're going to say something?
I would say, hey, if Jesus is calm, obviously he knows something to be done. He can be relaxed.
Right. Take our cues from Jesus. If Jesus is calm, we don't need to be calm. Yeah. And I would even say this. So a lot of times when our situation is bad, the answer is not inactivity. It didn't mean that they shouldn't do anything. But it is the way in which they did wake up Jesus. Do you think that it's okay that they woke up Jesus? I think it's okay that they woke up Jesus. Because they were afraid. They were afraid. And fear should lead us to the Savior. Right? So they were afraid. Who should they have gone to? To Jesus. But it was their unbelief in who he was, that he was not sovereign, that he did not love them, that he was not wise, that was rebuked. What would faith have looked like? Jesus, the storm is really bad. We're afraid. What do we do? What will you do? How can we trust you in this? Do we need to lie down next to you in the boat? I don't think I can go to sleep. I mean, as good as that sounds, we've all been asleep in the boat, which I've said that before too, right? Like, Faith is curling up in the boat next to him. Well, I know myself, I wouldn't have been able to sleep in the middle of that. But
the water's filling.
Yeah, the water's filling. But when they run to him, it's how they're running to him. And I think that that's important for us to see. Back to that truth that we jumped ahead on. Experiencing anxiety is not the problem, but living in anxiety, dwelling in anxiety is. And what we're seeing here is, it isn't sin to experience fear and anxiety. God created us to experience anxiety, right? It's the light on the dashboard. But when we allow it to control us, then it becomes our master. And that's when it becomes sin. When we allow it to change our view of who God is, then it becomes sin. And it's no different than anything else that we allow to be our master. It's no different than addictions, right? Drugs, alcohol, food. When you allow it to be your master, it's just as much sin. Or relationships. You have a really close relationship with somebody to the point where you begin to worship them and you allow them to be your master. Then it's sin. Relationships are sin, but that is. Right? We think about money. We think about fame. We think about success. Anything that we would allow to be master over us. We've been talking about that in Romans, right? How sin, you know, slavery to sin, slavery to the law, right? These things that we have been set free from to no longer enter into a yoke of slavery in those. So anything that would allow us to be slaves to it, then it would be sin. And that includes anxiety and fear. So, the question is, as he said, as he woke up, why are you so afraid? Or he says in Matthew chapter 6, which we'll look at next week, why are you anxious? Why are you anxious? And that's our question for tonight. Why are you anxious? So I have on your on that one handout where we were just at, if you turn to the next page, so why are you anxious? I have a little questionnaire for us. This is for each one of you. We're going to take a few minutes to practically pin down some of our fears and anxieties. Okay? Now, you might be in here saying, I don't have any fears and anxieties. Well, would you humor me? Because I bet you do. Let's just take a few minutes and answer these questions. I'm just going to read them very quickly so that you, if there's any questions, you understand it. But then I want you to just personally on your own, not at your table, not out loud, but on your own. What fears and worries can you identify immediately? What fears do you have regarding the people that you love? What fears or worries arise when you, fears and worries arise when you can lose something important, something that you love? What are you afraid that you could lose? Number 4, what fears do you have about your own death and possible physical disability? And number 5, any specific fears or phobias? There's a list of some. You can circle those. And if there are some on there, that if you have some that are not written there, write them out. So take a few minutes and we're going to let you look at those. We're not going to talk about it later, so don't feel like we have to share. That's just for you guys. But I want you to take a few minutes and do it. All right. So, here's the thing about these fears. So your emotions are like a language. They all say something. So, for instance, when you're angry, it says, it's your fault. Your anger says, oh, it's your fault. But if you look deeper, it actually says, I am authorized to stand in judgment of you. It's not just your fault, but I am authorized to stand in judgment of you. That's what it ultimately says if you look deeper. And the same thing with fear. Fear says something, right? When we should, obviously, we should listen to those fears, right? Because it starts off with run, avoid, danger. But if we go deeper, what might your fears and anxieties be truly saying about you? That's not an answer out loud question. But I would encourage you to think about that, and you can add that there on your list for your. But what, if you look deeper, what might your fears and anxieties be saying about you or to you? So Ed Welch, you know, we read his thing a second ago. He says that fear is, that fear and anxiety makes a prediction. That both fear and anxiety live in the future. And what they say is, there is a future threat to something that I love. And so what happens is, we act as little prophets, and we keep trusting in our predictions, even though they so often do not come to pass. Fear and worry are prophecies, and they're often false prophets. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says you should stone false prophets. And so our fears and our worries are oftentimes false prophets, and we need to get rid of them. We need to take them to the Lord. And so I want you to look back at your list of fears and anxieties, just briefly, just real quick, look down at it. And I want you to think about, what prediction is that fear making? What prediction is that, are those fears making? What future is it trying to foretell about your life? It hasn't happened. It's in the future. Okay? But what is it? It's a fortune teller. And as we think about those three unbeliefs, right, that God is not sovereign, God is not loving, and God is not wise, I want you to think about your fears and anxieties. And with each one of those, what unbelief about God is wrapped up in those anxieties? I want you to think about that. What of those three unbeliefs is that wrapped up in those anxieties or fears? Here's the thing, and we're wrapping up right now. Here's the thing. We are God's children. If you are in Christ, if you are a believer in Christ, you are his child. And so we, as his children, either run from him or we run to him. And our task, what we are hoping to accomplish in this class, and hopefully as Christians, as we walk out our faith, what we are hoping to accomplish is practicing turning to the Lord when you are afraid, so that it becomes natural and instinctive to turn to him. Let me say it again, because you were all distracted by the phone. The task at hand for what we're wanting to do and what we're wanting to accomplish through this is that we practice turning to the Lord when you are afraid, so that it becomes natural and instinctive for you to turn to him. That's what we want to accomplish. We want to just create these habits and tools and things to help us to just instinctively, because it's not instinctive. We have to create those habits. We have to create those instincts. Our fears and our worries are just opportunities for us to run to God and be reminded of who God is. And so Fears and anxieties are just like a string around your finger to remind you. You know, you tie a little string around your finger and you go, now why did I tie that? I'm supposed to remember something. Fears and anxieties are that to remind us who God is and that we should run to Him. And so, I have some homework for us. Now, before you freak out about homework, why do I give you homework? This is not something that you have to turn in. This is not something you'll be graded on. If you want to do the things that we're talking about, you have to put them into practice. And not just putting them into practice sitting around the table with other people on Wednesday night. You have to put them into practice tonight and tomorrow and the next day because practices are built by recurring habits. All right, so I give you this so you will go home and you will do this. It's also on the back page of your handout if you turn it all the way to the back. So here's what the homework. Write down your fears and anxieties. I didn't give you enough time to do it all tonight. It's okay. I knew you were going to have it for homework. Take it home and think about it. Write them down. Make your list. Then I want you to examine each one. And I want you to ask, what prediction is it making? What prediction is it making? Two, what unbelief about God does this fear fall into? Those three unbeliefs. Which one does this fear or anxiety fall into? And then after you do that, I want you, for each one of them, I want you to ask, what does God's word say about this fear? What does God's word say about this fear? And I want you to look it up. If you don't know a scripture, look one up. And if you don't know where to look, it's as simple as going to Google and typing in, what does the Bible say about? And then put your fear in there. And guess what? There's a magic box, and they'll find the answers for you. It's good. It's good, I promise. It'll find it. It'll probably give you 150 scriptures. And the first 10 are actually applicable. But go home and look up, find a scripture, and then write it next to that fear. Write them down. Here's the thing. If you don't do the scripture part, then you're just dwelling in fear, which is sin. But looking up scripture, seeing what God's word says about it, and then applying it to those fears. And then, lastly, there's a couple of steps, but once you do them, it's actually really good. I want you to find like a note card or a post-it note, and I want you to write those scriptures on a postcard, or on a post-it note or a note card. And then I want you to put it in the places where you tend to be most fearful about that fear. For instance, if you are afraid of waking up late because your alarm doesn't go off, you write that scripture down and you put it next to your alarm. And then you read that scripture as you are setting your alarm for the next day. And then as you rise up the next day, you read that scripture. If you are afraid of driving in your car because you're afraid people might hit you and you might die in a car accident. Well, on your steering wheel, but don't read it while you're driving because then you will get into an accident. But before you turn the car on, read the scripture, right? Do you see what I mean? If you're worried about it, if you're going to look good and be accepted during the day, then on your bathroom mirror, as you are looking at yourself before you go out the door, put a scripture about how God loves you and accepts you. So I want you to go home and do that. Not for me. It doesn't benefit me if you write scripture down or not. But for you, to help take those fears to the Lord. I also gave you this scripture sheet. And these are just a handful of scriptures. These are great. We're going to be looking at almost all of these over the course of the next this class. And so I encourage you to go ahead and start reading them. Asking yourself, what does this scripture tell me about fear and anxiety? Usually it says stop fear and anxiety. Don't. But it tells me more than that. What does it say? All right? So I encourage you to do that. Next week we're going to be looking about how Jesus experienced fear and anxiety. And what did he do? We're going to look at how Paul, the apostle, who wrote Philippians, who says, do not be anxious for anything. At the beginning of it, he says how he was anxious. So we're going to see what he does with fear and anxiety. We're going to see how these folks deal with fear and anxiety. And we're also going to start getting into some very practical tools about how to deal with anxiety. So things like what we talked about tonight with our homework, I'm going to give something like that every week to different things to help us with that. All right. Any questions before we pray and wrap up? And let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you very much. And we know that you are sovereign, that you care for us, that you are wise. We know that to be true, but sometimes we forget. And sometimes we allow our fears and anxieties to become our masters. And Lord, we just pray that you would just, you would, through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the power of your word, that you would just lead us to you in the midst of those. Help us to break those bonds of the fear and anxiety. Help us to run to you in the midst of all the things that we struggle with. Lord, we love you and we are excited to find out what your word says about anxiety and how to fight it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you guys. If you're able to stick around and help set up some tables, we're going to do that in about 2 minutes.